You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today. And it's for me. Guess who's coming to dinner? One of the greatest movies ever made. The American Film Institute has placed this movie in the top 100 of all time. If you've ever seen Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, would you just mind showing me your... Okay, all right, so you all know I'm getting ready not to shock some people. This movie had a cast that was second to none. Spencer Tracy was in his last role. Katharine Hepburn actually won an Oscar for her role. And the incomparable Sidney Poitier, who had won an Oscar in 1964 for Lilies of the Field, was there. Very present. Very present. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is a great movie with a fantastic cast, but what really grabs me is the storyline. The storyline. In this story, a young woman brings her fiancé home to meet the parents. This young woman's parents have always stood proud on the fact that they are liberals, and they do not have time to be caught up in the pettiness of racial bias. And then the hammer is dropped. And their only daughter shows up with a black fiance. Now, today, the sight of an interracial couple doesn't really raise eyebrows. The stigma of interracial marriages has been replaced with feelings of c'est la vie, or for the most part, the folks that our children bring home are not judged so much by how they look, but rather how they behave. How they behave. As Dr. King once said, not judged by the color of their skin, but rather by the content of their character. She rose, he rose, blockheads and boneheads, believe it or not, come in all sizes and shapes and are not limited to a particular race or gender. No, today's world seems to be a much more accepting place than when this movie was made. The year was 1967, and the civil rights struggle was on the news. It seemed like every day Martin Luther King Jr. was still alive. The Vietnam War was still alive. James Brown was still alive and skinny. And a scared 6-year-old boy was riding 2 city buses and a yellow bus across Boston in order to integrate a historically white public school where it was so dangerous for the children that the parents of the black children actually moved their children out into a white Catholic school. Think about that for a moment. In 1967, the times, the people, and the attitudes seem to be very different. However, a brief glance at what is transpiring today reminds us that for every proverbial step we seem to take forward, something or someone tries to take us 2 steps back. Let us speak some truths today. Too many of our siblings are, for lack of a better word, hate-filled and unashamed of their hatefulness. In this age of Christian nationalism, good Christians are pushing further to the margins anyone who is not like them than like them. What I mean is, if you don't look like me, act like me, think like me, speak like me, you can't be with me. Good Christians are widening the divide between us and them. Good Christians are preaching hate from the corner and from the pulpit. And the church house is still the most segregated place in America on a Sunday morning, except at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. Our word for today is that we need to save a seat at the table because there is new life when Jesus sees us. I said, save a seat at the table because there is new life when Jesus enters into our life. Yes, when Jesus shows up for dinner at our house and at our table, our lives will never, ever be the same. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus has entered Jericho, and we have this individual, Zacchaeus, who wants to see Jesus. He just wants to see Jesus. He just wants to see Jesus. This is not just any individual. This is Zacchaeus, a personality who was someone no one likes, but everyone fears, someone this one, and I believe other someones might invite to dinner, but fervently hope that they have something else to do. I know you all don't have family like that, but I do. I invite them to dinner and pray that they've got something else scheduled. For all my family listening, I'm not talking about y'all. Zacchaeus was not just any IRS agent, but a chief tax collector. Old Zach is a big cheese, a head honcho, a fat cat. Zacchaeus is a puppet master who pulled strings and made others dance. Zacchaeus was rich and feared. Some persons might identify Zacchaeus as having deep pockets and deep reach. But Zacchaeus had some problems. Zacchaeus was altitudinally challenged. Short. Zacchaeus was small. The crowd was large, and he could not see Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus could have gone the route that many of us might take and allowed obstacles to block our blessing, but he did not. Zacchaeus could have done what some of us do and let the world win, but he did not. Zacchaeus did not worry about how foolish he might look to others. He didn't care about what others might think, seeing him climb up into a tree. He was not going to let worldly limitations block his heavenly blessing. We could learn a lot from this crook named Zacchaeus. Too often, many of us allow everything and anything, everybody and anybody to block our blessings from the Lord. You may know of what I speak. I'm mad at my partner, so I'm going to take a personal day or this Sunday off. I'm going to let the race stop me. I'm letting that marinate. Like going to church is a job. Or something of that nature. I know God has put a song in my heart, but I just cannot stand that person who is leading or singing in the choir. So I'm going to save my singing for the shout. I know that my soul is starving and I need to be fed, but my manna is at the church and the preacher just plucks my last nerve. I'm tired of him talking about me. So I'm just going to stay home and watch TD or Joel or Creflo. And if they start saying something I don't like, I can always turn the channel. We allow everything and anything, everybody and anybody to steal our joy. We know what we really need, which is an encounter with Jesus, but we settle for what we do not need, which is a hug up from the world. We are content to settle for worse and then cannot figure out why our problems always seem to get worse. No, we need to become a little bit more like our cousin Zacchaeus here. Zacchaeus had it made. He lived in the nicest house, in the nicest neighborhood. He drove the latest model chariot with gold-trimmed Broham edition, riding on 24s with some sprees. Those were the things that spun. Y'all may not know about sprees. Sorry, Richard. He was a chief crook, and he had a bunch of petty crooks working for him. He had it made, but even having it made, something was missing in his life. How do we know something was missing? I mean, the text doesn't say that Zacchaeus is unhappy, depressed, or sad. But for someone to climb a tree just to see, for someone to open themselves up to ridicule just for a glimpse or a peek, for someone to willingly humble themselves just to see, not to touch, not to talk, but just to see, tells me that something was missing in his life. We need to be more like our short cousin Zacchaeus. Some of us are so concerned with appearances that we are so worried with reputation. We are so caught up in the myth that we call us, or the magnificence of me, that we miss our blessing. For some of us, our piousness, our self-righteousness, our importance has become a hindrance to us receiving the full measure of God's blessings. We need to be more like Zacchaeus. We need to run away from what we are and run towards what God wants for us. We need to climb out of our comfort zone and climb into God's zone. We need to step out of our rice bowl and step out of our sandbox and just wait, just hang out a little while and wait on Jesus to pass by. We need to wait on Jesus to come by and see us in our sickness. We need to wait on Jesus to come by and see us in our pain. We need to wait on Jesus to come by and see us in the midst of our confusion. I said, wait on Jesus to come by and see us when we are up a tree or up a creek. Wait on Jesus to come by and see us when the world laughs at us or worse, ignores us. We just need to wait on Jesus. Our story tells us that Jesus sees Zacchaeus up a tree, and he does not laugh at him or point a belittling finger at him or worse, ignore him. Jesus tells our short, crooked cousin, hurry and come down, because I must stay at your house today. Guess who's coming to dinner? I'm hoping someone here is catching what the Lord is pitching today. It wasn't until Zacchaeus humbled himself. It wasn't until Zacchaeus put aside the legend of me that Jesus calls him and says, I must stay at your house today. Think about this. Zacchaeus is up a tree. For us, our tree might be prescription drugs or alcohol or depression or apathy. It took Zacchaeus stepping out of his box, moving out of his comfort zone and waiting on Jesus for our Savior to see him in his need, to call him in his need and visit him in his need. In his need. Yes, we need to be a little bit more like Zacchaeus. After Jesus sees him up a tree and calls him down, the text tells us that our short cousin hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. Now, maybe no one here knows how Zacchaeus felt, but I know. I have been where Zacchaeus was. I have done what Zacchaeus has done. And as some say, I did it so well, I got the T-shirt. Maybe someone here knows of what I'm speaking. You know that you're supposed to, what you're supposed to do. You know how you're supposed to live. But somewhere along the line, you started to cut corners. You might have told a little lie or gone somewhere you should not have been, or tried something, or tried someone that you knew was wrong for you. Folks on the outside were looking at us and keeping us at arm's length, and before we knew it, our little indiscretions had led to big problems. We wanted to get right, but things kept getting in our way, and then we remembered Jesus. Somewhere along the line, we remembered Jesus. It may have been a conversation that we had with our grandmother. It may have been a prayer that our partner or spouse sent up on our behalf. It may have even been a song that we heard coming from the choir. You know, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. Not I think, but I know that he watches me. Something reminded us about Jesus. We didn't know why, but we knew that we had to find a way to see Jesus. We didn't know what we would say. We didn't care how we sounded or how we looked. All we knew was that we had to get a glimpse of the Master. So we climbed up that tree. We started up that tree with people looking at us. We went out on that limb because we knew that we had to see Jesus. And when Jesus saw us and we heard him call us by name, we heard him call us out of our addictions. We heard Jesus call us out of our sickness. We heard Jesus call us out of our depression. We heard Jesus call us out of our doubts and our worries and our fears. You heard Jesus tell you to come down from your tree because he's going to be coming into your house. He's going to be coming into your home. Somebody listening today needs to know that when Jesus calls us by name, he's going to answer before we even ask. He's going to know before we even know. He's going to come into our relationships. He's going to enter into our homes. He's going to enter into our business relationships. He's going to enter into, believe it or not, our churches. And we won't have to worry about what people think. We won't worry about what people say. We won't worry about people grumbling because we will be getting ready or preparing for Jesus. When we've met Jesus, when we have let Jesus into our life, we don't hear the garbage that other people are saying. I remember I had a friend. I know some of y'all find this hard to believe, but I actually had a friend. I had a friend when I was in the Navy, and when I was in the Navy, I was a different person. I did things that sailors do. This guy who was my friend was a drinking buddy. He was a drinking buddy. We never ever went anywhere, he and I, without having a few drinks to get our heads right. We were getting ready to do something dumb, so we had to dumb down. I did this a lot, but when I met Jesus and I welcomed Jesus into my life, I lost the need to get my head right using alcohol. It wasn't that I got physically ill. I just lost the need to get my head right. Well, this friend of mine, we had kind of parted ways. I was stationed in one place. He was stationed on the ship, and the ship was pulling into port. His ship was pulling into port. And so he reached out to me and said, hey, I'm coming into town. We need to go hang out. Thinking that he was talking to the same guy that he had known before. And I told him, I'd love to go hang out with you, but I don't do what we used to do. Now, I'll also say by this time I had met a young lady named Kamiko. But anyway, I said, I don't do that anymore, so we can go hang out, but I'm not going to be getting drunk. After he realized that I wasn't joking, because he thought I was joking. He made up a reason to not come and visit. And I can honestly say I have not seen him in probably 28 years now. Now, if I had still been of the world, that might not have bothered me. But you see, I, by that time, had welcomed Jesus into my life. And I understood that how I used to be could not be or would not be how I was going to be. There's a change that happens in our life when we welcome Jesus into our life. I didn't have to guess who was coming to dinner because Jesus had invited himself. I didn't mind the grumblings of the world because I had Jesus at my table. And Jesus let me know that I don't have to get drunk and I don't have to get high and I don't have to steal joy or to be somebody. I am somebody just because Jesus knows my name. I am somebody because Jesus is my house guest. And just like Jesus did it for me, he'll do it for you. When you welcome Jesus into your life, you'll find it's easier to neither turn to the right or to the left, but to stay focused on the true King. The true King. You'll find yourself praying and loving and working for all of God's children, no matter who they are, simply because of whose they are. Who have you invited to dinner? And who is sitting at your table? To all I offer shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.